Part 2. The Key Excuses Begone Principles. Quote, "Every mind must know the whole lesson for itself, must go over the whole ground. What it does not see, what it does not live, it will not know." Unquote. That's from Ralph Waldo Emerson. Introduction to Part 2. Each chapter in Part 2 illustrates one of the seven principles of excuses begone that I've personally explored and applied to my own life. Yet I'm leaving out any remnants of my scholarly research persona and instead sharing my unbridled enthusiasm about what it feels like to live in this new way. While I'll share my discoveries with you, it's my hope that you'll share my excitement through your own experience. I've included exercises at the end of each chapter that will help you to put these life-changing principles into practice. Chapter 4. The first principle, awareness. Quote, "Thinking without awareness is the main dilemma of human existence," unquote. Eckhart Tolle. And, quote, "It's the awareness of how you are stuck that makes you recover," unquote. That's from Fritz Perls. Lifelong, set-in-stone thinking keeps you stuck, often without your even realizing that you're stuck. Since this type of mental activity can't lead you in a new direction, becoming aware must be the first step to getting rid of your excuses forever. Cultivating awareness is indeed the preliminary activity in the eye-opening experience of meeting your authentic self. Living your life oblivious to your thinking patterns and beliefs day after day, year after year, is a habit that encourages and elevates your ego or the false self. Eckhart Tolle states that awareness and ego cannot coexist, because awareness encourages and elevates your authentic self to be the center of your life experience. Although the false and authentic selves are mutually exclusive, I believe that knowledge of both is valuable. The way I see it, if you're going to practice an excuses begone life, your primary relationship needs to be 100% with your authentic self. Who you truly are originates in a formless, invisible world. Scientists acknowledge that all particles, including you, emerge from an energy field of no-thingness. It's spirit that gives life, and it's to spirit that all life returns. There's very little room for ego here, since it clings to the false belief that you are your possessions and achievements. Becoming mindful of your true essence leads to awareness of your magnificence, your divinity, and your unique power to create for yourself whatever you feel is your destiny here on this planet, beyond any and all excuses. When awareness is your reality, you don't need to explain your shortcomings or missed opportunities. Instead, you transcend the pull of ego and move into a totally new dimension of higher consciousness. To put it simply and bluntly, if you don't realize that you no longer have to be stuck in your old thinking habits, then the habits will prevail and persist. This chapter introduces you to what awareness of the elevated experience of life actually feels like. From excuses to awareness. Breaking old habits requires noticing that you're creating impediments in your life, and that these impediments have become excuses for so-called limitations. For example, if you're averse to risk-taking and tend to choose the safe or the easy path, this has caused you to erect mental barriers. Such barriers are what I'm calling excuses, and they give you a way out. So when it's time to try something new, or to take a step that might result in failing, becoming the butt of criticism, or losing a contest or competition, or anything at all that puts you on the path toward becoming a stronger and a more self-reliant person, you come up with the same old excuse and avoid the risk. This is all an exercise that starts and ends in your mind. It's habituated thinking you rationalize by saying that it was inherited or foisted on you by well-meaning, albeit cautious, parents. Simply being cognizant of your excuse-making will open you up to vast arenas of new possibilities. You can begin this process by paying attention to the false part of yourself that believes in limitations. Simply observe the thoughts in your mind and the feelings in your body and note when they don't resonate with your authentic self. Yet you don't have to change or fix those thoughts and feelings. By becoming aware of your true being, you only need to pay uncritical attention to the ego self, and it will recede gradually and naturally in the light of your awareness. Remember, you're not just the temporary shell that you call your body. You're a divine essence who is limitless, formless, and infinite. When you notice your ego's chatter, you discover the ability to overcome long-established habits, and you begin to see all that you've been blinded by in excuse-making. Awareness leads you to your highest self. Ego leads you to your earthbound self. When you let the divine grow within you, awareness will be what you bring to all aspects of your life. As a Hindu devotee was once told, quote, the blossom vanishes of itself as the fruit grows. So too will your lower self vanish as the divine grows within you, unquote. Letting the divine grow within you involves sincerity, service to others, kindness, and reverence for all of life. Endeavoring to become aware encourages authentic thoughts to grow and appear in your inner world, and so will your lower self vanish as the divine grows within you. Let me share with you how awareness has been such a boon for me personally as I've changed some long-held thinking habits. In the opening chapters of this book, I describe two big excuses, genetic and mimetic, that many of us use to explain away what appears to be our failure to change the habits that plague us. As I read The Biology of Belief, the phrase, perception controls genes, kept attracting me. It triggered something in me that I hadn't considered before, the idea that the way I think about and perceive my world can overcome my DNA and my genetic inheritance. This means that I can rewire my internal circuitry and process physical or health problems from an entirely new perspective. If I were to stay unaware of my built-in ability to influence my genetic program, I'd be stuck believing that those things were outside of my control. So I've become increasingly aware that my mind has power over my environment, which means that when my body is off track, it's because my beliefs are off track. All my life I've heard that the one thing you can't change is your DNA, and I've always nodded in agreement. With my current awareness of the power of perception, however, a whole new world has opened up for me. For example, I have a history of infection and discomfort in my chest and bronchial area, and I've tended to feel that this is an area of weakness to be concerned about. A minor sore throat appears, which proceeds to some coughing and then produces green phlegm, followed by some difficulty breathing, and I head out to purchase some antibiotics and go through the same old process until the infection and discomfort ultimately disappear. Yet doing the research for this book, part of which involves putting into practice what I'm learning and writing about, I've moved into a new mental state. I now encourage myself to apply awareness rather than my old routine, and I seem to skip over those days of discomfort and the annoying antibiotics. In fact, I'm approaching everything about my body with a new awareness. Rather than first reverting to ways I've used in the past to process early signs of a physical malady, these days I shift to a level that allows me to mentally suspend my ego and even my body. Then I tell myself something along these lines. My perceptions or beliefs control my environment, my body, which is the environment for all illness, my genetic structure, and my DNA. I have the power to see this situation differently than I used to. Inherent within me is the power to create an inner environment that isn't susceptible to illness or disease. When I know that I have an option of awareness, I'm able to send away a possibly painful episode. I'm using all of the powers that this approach holds to talk differently to my body, and not only with respect to potential bronchial infections, I'm also employing it with sore joints, muscle pulls, cramping in my calves, stiffness, and any of the multitude of physical inconveniences that crop up in a 60-something body that loves swimming, running, walking, and doing yoga and other exercises on a daily basis. The key is to be aware that awareness itself is available rather than the same old tired, ego-dominated approach. The reason that awareness of awareness is so powerful is that it immediately puts me in touch with a dimension of myself that knows, here in awareness, all things are possible. That statement leaves nothing out, including the ability to realign with Source and introduce my genes to a whole new set of beliefs. Reading about and processing these cutting-edge scientific ideas triggered my entry into awareness. But it was my willingness to work on applying it where only old thinking habits previously resided that brought me to this new level where I feel as if I have an all-knowing friend with me at all times. This friend is called awareness. Here's another example of the power of awareness to alter some long-running thinking habits. Just being conscious of the fact that you are exercising can lead to better fitness. A recent Harvard University study published in a February 2007 issue of Psychological Science tracked the health of 84 female room attendants working in 7 different hotels and found that those who recognized their work as exercise experienced significant health benefits. The women were separated into 2 groups. One learned how their work fulfilled the recommendations for daily activity levels, while the other, the control group, went about work as usual. Although neither group changed its behavior, the women who were conscious of their activity level experienced a very significant drop in weight, blood pressure, body fat, waist-to-hip ratio, and body mass index in just 4 weeks. The control group experienced no improvements despite engaging in the exact same physical activities. The study illustrates how profoundly a person's attitude can affect her physical well-being. So if your daily routine keeps you on the move, start thinking of it as exercise. It may be enough to move you toward your fitness goals. Notice the opening line of this article, which said, "Just being conscious of the fact that you are exercising can lead to better fitness. Awareness takes you out of your customary thinking." As for me, since rewiring my thoughts to influence my body and even my DNA, my reality has changed significantly. Today, when I feel a heaviness in my chest or get a sore throat or pain in my joints or even a headache, I first begin noticing without judgment. I simply pay attention by observing uncritically and allowing myself to focus in a curious, gentle manner. By turning toward my higher self, all of ego's fears begin fading in its light. By becoming aware, without falling into ego thoughts of pain, disruption, annoyance, or creating other mental barriers, the symptoms move on through my system, which is in a state of higher consciousness. Where I once had a lifelong thinking habit that I didn't have the ability to adapt my genes to my perception or to rewrite my genetic codes with my beliefs, I now live in a new way. I gently notice my old ego-based beliefs whenever I note any kind of bodily malfunction. Awareness leads me to think totally differently, and it, sans ego, has put me into an instantaneous healing place on many occasions. The many paths of awareness. Awareness doesn't come to you exclusively from your intellect. Hafiz, a Persian poet in the Middle Ages, explains it this way, quote, "O thou who art trying to learn the marvel of love from the copybook of reason, I am very much afraid that you will never really see the point," unquote. In other words, studying these pages and memorizing the components of awareness will never replace experiencing it. So encourage yourself by spending time noticing where and what you're feeling in your physical body. This is the initial step toward achieving the consciousness that Lao Tzu speaks of. The mystical techniques for achieving immortality are revealed only to those who have dissolved all ties to the gross worldly realm of duality, conflict, and dogma. So said Lao Tzu. This is a telling message. I know that I see myself as an immortal being who receives guidance on awareness specifically because I let go and dissolve most of my ties to the world of duality, conflict, and dogma. The excitement of living from this perspective is beyond anything I can describe. It reminds me that I do exist in a place of all things are possible, and I apply this consciousness to all of my old thinking habits, and I encourage you to do the same. Know that you are a soul with a body rather than the reverse, and understand that this knowledge is your ticket to changing beliefs that keep you stuck in what Lao Tzu calls your shallow worldly ambitions. Awareness will remind you of who you are capable of becoming. All that you need will appear when you're vigilant about replacing old thinking habits with it. These days, the words infinite possibilities flash on my inner screen almost every waking hour. This phrase continually assures me that nothing is impossible if I can conceive of it and if I'm willing to apply awareness rather than excuses. Awareness allows me to perceive possibilities rather than difficulties, to feel connected to my source of being, and see the outcome as working rather than failing. I feel a dazzling rush of excitement when I think about no longer employing all the tired excuses that were handed down to me from my family, my schooling, my religious training, my government, ad infinitum. The messages were similar. These are your limitations. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. This is the real world of competition and pain and violence and fear and hatred and so on. These ideas strongly influenced me, but I'm here to tell you that I now have a new and welcome outlook on the world of infinite possibilities. When you simply become aware, you cease being a victim to endless mind viruses that seemingly prevent you from accessing your complete fulfillment. You no longer find it difficult to change those familiar thought patterns that prevent you from living at optimal levels of success, happiness, and health. You consciously enjoy the knowledge that memes or genes or anything else in the material world don't have absolute control over you, and who you can become is unlimited. Your first response to any troublesome life situation isn't one of the 18 excuse categories from the last chapter. Rather, you shift to your awareness of awareness and tell yourself, hold on here. There's something beyond what I'm noticing, and I'm going to tap into it first. Madame Blavatsky, who was instrumental in introducing Eastern religions to the West, encouraged this kind of thinking. Here's what she said on this subject. Quote, have patience, candidate, as one who fears no failure, courts no success. Fix thy soul's gaze upon the star whose ray thou art, the flaming star that shines within the lightless depths of ever-being. Unquote. Here are four suggestions for implementing an awareness of awareness. First, develop a mindset that stays open to all possibilities. Refuse to rule out the ability to use awareness as your primary tool for combating long-held thinking habits. By being open to it, you invite higher awareness in. As I've said throughout this chapter, with this new approach, all things are possible, and that leaves nothing out. Secondly, practice using awareness at your own pace, in your own way, in circumstances that crop up throughout your daily life. Practice giving rather than asking for more. Practice being non-judgmental and offering help where you previously offered criticism. Want what you want for yourself even more for someone else, and observe how much better you are in eliminating those old me-first thoughts that have demanded your attention in the past. Third, in childhood, repetition was something you most likely used to reinforce things you were mastering. You can probably recall insisting on someone reading and rereading a book or story until you knew it by heart. In that spirit, repeat this affirmation over and over to have it solidify and move from your subconscious habitual mind to the forefront of your conscious mind. Quote, I let go of old ways of thinking and I access awareness. And fourth, when you feel compelled to use an excuse, become aware that you no longer need to. Simply become aware of this new awareness.